in Da Vinci. Amen? And I hope that you've enjoyed the series. I have. I've learned a lot. And that book sold 40 million copies. Best-selling adult novel of all time, period. So I think it was important that we addressed it, that we looked at it. It is fiction. The problem with it is so much of it, it claims to be fact. It claims to be historical. So that's why we did this, to talk about it. But I hope you've been catching the subliminal message every Sunday. The subliminal message is, this really ain't about Da Vinci. It's about us studying Colossians. Have you been picking that up? We've been in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, chapter 2. Today we're going to look at chapter 3 and a little bit of chapter 4. Because here's the deal. Regardless of what book comes down the pipe, regardless of what attack comes against the church and against the Bible, if you know your Bible and if you are grounded in your Bible and you know what the Bible says, it's going to buoy your faith. It's going to make you strong so you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Does that make any sense? Say. So know your Bible. It's not about knowing me. It's not about knowing some television preacher. It's about knowing the Word of God. Knowing Jesus as your Savior. Holy Spirit, the living God, comes into your heart and life and will enlighten you as you study the Word of God. Also, don't make excuses. Stop it. That's crazy. I don't understand the Bible. I can't read the Bible. You must start. Amen? You start in the book of John. Sandy, would you agree with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? Start in the book of John. That's what Sandy did. She came to talk to me. I said, start in the book of John. Read the book of John. I said, when you read the book of John, read it again. Read it again. Then she came and reported back to me. She's done that. And then she says, by the way, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John now. Amen? Praise God. That's what it's about. And Sandy would probably say, oh, I couldn't understand the Bible. I don't know what the Bible says. It's amazing. If you start reading, if you're a child of the living God, you will be enlightened. You will be able to understand. I'm not saying bite off more than you can chew. Don't read it all in one day. Okay? Just take little bits along and pray and ask the Lord to help me. Help me, Lord. Try to put yourself into the Scriptures too. When you read the book of John and you see Jesus meeting the different people and calling the disciples and touching sinners and blinded eyes and all these things, just imagine yourself there as well. You grow in Him and grow loving Him and just grow in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. He loves you to pieces. And that's what the Word of God can do for you. And then you just keep reading and it's beautiful. Okay? And that's why we try to teach here on Sundays. Maybe some of my preaching seems a little down to earth and little cookies on the bottom shelf. Guess what? We do that on purpose. We do that on purpose. I don't want to talk high and mighty and not anybody in here get a dime worth of nothing out of what we say. That's just ignorant. Amen? So if other people do that, let them do it. That's great. But we do what we do on purpose, and I'm happy with God just giving us whoever He gives us to love God's Word and learn and grow, and He's going to take care of us. I think this is the approach we're going to stay with. Amen? Debunking Da Vinci. Let's go. Our message today is the prescription for heresy. Can you say that with me? The prescription for heresy. Okay? We've got a doctor in the house. All right? Here we go. Probably got a few doctors in the house today, people that can write prescriptions. Well, this is God's prescription. It's in Colossians chapter 3 for heresy. The book, the Da Vinci Code, is heresy. Many books just like it are heresy. So we need a prescription today for heresy. I want the shot. Amen? I don't like shots, generally speaking, but if I can get a shot that would help me not get a horrible disease, I'm getting lying. Amen? All right? So this is what we're doing today. We're going to see the prescription for heresy. So far, we saw the preeminent Christ in chapter 1 of Colossians. Then last week, we saw the perversion of Satan in chapter 2. Today, in chapter 3 and a little bit of chapter 4, we're going to see the prescription for heresy. So let's go. Right now, with debunking Da Vinci. Dan Brown gives the impression, he's the author of the book, he gives the impression that he's a historian, which he is not. I don't think he is so much interested in the truth as in drama and mystery. Just about everything he said about Leonardo da Vinci is wrong. Who said that? Jack Wasserman, retired professor of art and history, an expert on Leonardo da Vinci, Temple University, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay? So what this man wrote, he says, just about everything that he said about Leonardo da Vinci in the Da Vinci Code is wrong. Can you say that with me? Just about everything he said about Leonardo da Vinci is what? Wrong! You might say, well, how do you know that, Lord? Because I asked the expert. Amen? And that's what he says. And guess what? Experts know stuff. They don't know everything. But if they study a certain field, we ought to give it up to them that they know what they're talking about. Amen? and not some guy that doesn't know who about Da Vinci. And we looked at the historians, so-called, that he used, and none was actually a historian. Several of them were involved in the occult and mysticism, but he called these people historians. We'll go with old retired Jack, amen? He says almost everything he said about Leonardo da Vinci is wrong. Let's keep moving. Dan Brown twists, turns, and manufactures a Da Vinci that will sell. Okay? That's why he did this. Is there anything wrong with doing that? Ain't nothing wrong writing a book. There's nothing wrong with writing a fiction book. Okay? I still don't like fiction when it interwoves Jesus and God and twists things and slams Jesus. I don't like that. But it is a free country and you can do it and you can write fiction. Just don't come out of the gate saying it's historical and that much of your book is fact. That's a problem. Okay? So he did this to sell, and certainly he did. 40 million copies. Let's keep moving. And so today, you know what? We've debunked Da Vinci the last couple of weeks, but I thought it would be good. Let's find out a little bit old Leonardo. Can we do that today? Say, I'd like to know a little bit about Leonardo. So let's look at it. Let's take a look at the real and historically accurate Leonardo da Vinci. And I'm not going to do this very long, just a little while, so bear with me. I mean, man, the guy got old looking, ain't he? Look at that right there now. Tell you what, well, he ought to look old. He's born in 1452. You look old too. 1452 to 1519. So over 500 years ago, Leonardo da Vinci lived. And you might say, well, what's the big deal out of that? I'll show you what the big deal is. Let's keep moving. Leonardo da Vinci is considered by many to be the real founder of modern science, even though he's more widely recognized for his incomparable paintings. He was quite a scientist. Let's keep moving. Leonardo was also, according to all accounts, a man of high moral character, gracious and kind in all of his dealings. Although his few extant manuscripts, things that he wrote, deal with art or science rather than theology. Now, what is that all about? Here's what this means. You can't find out really what Leonardo da Vinci believed because he didn't write anything about it. Does that make any sense? Say. And so to somehow form an opinion, and this is what the man believed when there's nothing out there, historically speaking, that he wrote other than art and science and things like that, that's foolish. You can't do that. I can't tell people what you believe unless you've written it down or we've got an eyewitness account of you saying what you said. Okay? So anyway, he didn't have a whole lot of writings at all concerning theology. It was all art and science. But if nothing else were available to give his testimony, his great work of art would. He didn't just do the Last Supper. We had Bob Dalton. I don't think he's with us now. He's going back to England. Right, Bob? You're not here, are you? He was in the early service. He's flying back to England today. But he that's where the Louvre is and everything over there. He talked about so many sculptures and things and paintings that Leonardo da Vinci did. It has to do with the Bible and David and sculptures of David, different things like that. So you can get an idea of this man from his paintings. For example, the Last Supper, with its profound insights into the heart of Christ and the disciples. And a lot of people, when we look at the Last Supper, I know it looks, part of it looks effeminate. But guess what? That's the way people, a lot of people painted way back then. Does that make any sense? I'm glad the paintings today aren't like the Renaissance. I hate to be ugly, but there was one period of art history where everybody they painted was big and fat. Okay, excuse me. I mean, that's ugly, but I don't want that on my wall. That's the way things are. So he painted a certain way. Okay? That does not mean that he's trying to say an effeminate-looking John is Mary Magdalene. Why in the world would a man, listen to me, paint a picture of the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and leave out one of the most important disciples? Now, he got all the other ones right, but he doesn't put in John, of all people, whom Jesus loved. And even the positioning in the picture of John is correct, right? Where would you think the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast, the disciple that was so close to Jesus, where do you think he's going to be sitting? Way out in left field? Or right up close? Somebody tell me. Up close. And I'm not here to talk about art so much, because you know I don't know anything about this stuff, all right? However, that painting has been a blessing and stirred the souls of multitudes over the centuries, and I believe it bears witness of his faith. Not to take that painting and somehow use it against it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it makes good sense to me. Okay? Who wrote all this? Henry Morris in his book, Men of Science, Men of God. You can check that out sometime. Let's go a little further and look at Leonardo. Now, Leonardo's up close and personal. Now, look at him. Wow. Okay? Let's look at Leonardo a little bit more up close and personal. Let's look at some facts about this man. Here we go. Maybe you all knew this. I didn't. I enjoyed it. Leonardo was one of the greatest painters in history. However, his interests and accomplishments went far beyond the world of art. At various times, he was an inventor, scientist, engineer, architect, and designer. And this was over 500 years ago. His inventions marked the beginning of the scientific revolution. I know you feel like you're in class with Uncle Gary this morning, but here we go. Leonardo drew the plans for the first armored car in 1485. And these are his actual drawings. He also designed cannons, machine guns, gliders, turnspits for roasting meat. Remember that next time you're grilling out. A canal system to irrigate the fields. Remember that, you that live on the Rotunda River. Amen? Down in Rotunda. It's funny, they call it the Rotunda River now. Just in case you newly moved to the area, we never called it that. Okay, that's something new. That's a sales pitch. Just throw that in for you this morning. Hate to let you down. Rotunda River. Here we go. He invented all that canal stuff. Did all that kind of... And transport goods in Milan. Let's keep moving. He invented the parachute. A movable bridge for the Duke of Milan. Various ladders for storming and climbing castle walls. A machine to make concave mirrors. A pump for well water. Next time you water your yard with your well. Thank old Leonardo. Huh? He drew architectural drawings of European cities. He made the first accurate drawings of the human anatomy. He designed a revolving stage for plays and pageants. He created this, an inflatable tube. Amen. Go Leonardo, amen. He's the guy who invented the float. When you're out in the bay or out there at the beach, sometimes you're laying on your floater in your pool going, thank you, Leonardo. Alright? He also invented the first vice grips. How many men on a pair of vice grips in the building? Can I see you? Thank you, Leonardo. Oh! Vice grips. All right. Let's keep looking. And in his spare time, guess what? In his spare time, he did a little painting. This is quite a guy, wasn't he? Isn't this something? How you can take all the good a man has done, all the accomplishments, and then a book can come out. And just, you know, and I don't think it was his intent to ruin this guy, but he certainly has, in his book, ruined a lot of what we as Christians might would believe and think of him. And so anyway, a little bit on Leonardo da Vinci. Let's keep moving forward. Now, since this guy had a quote, I got one. Just about everything that Dan Brown says about Jesus Christ is wrong. Pastor Gary Clark, Fellowship Church, Angel was born. I'll be in my grave and they'll be pulling this up, you know, and looking, who is he? They won't know, but they'll say he lived near the Rotunda River. Right there, you know what I'm saying? Not just me, friend, look at it. Along with thousands of other pastors and theologians and millions of Christians around the world, we believe that what Dan Brown said about Jesus Christ is wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's go. What he says about, what he says and what the Gnostic Gospels say, we've been looking at that. And what the Priory of Science say, that's those that say they're of the lineage of Jesus over in Europe. What they're saying is heresy. 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 And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're getting closer now to our message. Heresy. Roger even put up, it's a noun. Thank you, Roger. I didn't have that in my notes. Okay? Heresy. What is heresy? It's an opinion. It's a belief or teaching that is in direct opposition to what the Word of God says. Okay? Heresy is an opinion, belief, or teaching that is in direct opposition to what the Bible says. Does that make sense to you? So what Dan Brown has said is heresy. What the Gnostic Gospels say is heresy. What the Priory of Zion says is heresy. Why? Because it's in direct opposition to what the Bible says. So it's heresy. And yet, it gets so many people. They get swallowed into this. So I need a prescription for heresy. Amen? Look, I need a shock, man. I want to be inoculated. All right? And no, I hate needles, but I'm ready today. Come on. Let's keep looking, Raj. What do we got? Heresy's nothing new. We saw it clearly in chapter 2 of Colossians. We saw it last week in the perversion of Satan. We broke it down in several things. Satan is all about perverting things and twisting things. He does it with enticing words. We saw that. He does it with philosophy and vain deceit. He does it with traditions of men. So many times, churches are so full of traditions, there's no word of God anywhere. But they've got all the traditions. He's all about that. Legalism, so many rules that you lose the grace of God. Amen? It's crazy. That's what Satan's about. Mysticism, believing in yourself in the inner life instead of Jesus Christ who died on the cross and gave his life for you and rose from the dead. Amen? See, he's all about perverting. Satan's a liar. We said it last week. Can you say these with me? Come on. Come on. Here we go. Back it up. Say it with me. Satan is a liar. Next one. Say this one with me. Satan is the enemy of the gospel and the church of Jesus Christ. Number 3. Satan is the ultimate pervert. He loves to pervert the scriptures teaching people. He loves that. Finally, say this with me. Satan is all about... Now, one more time. Come on now. Satan is all about doubt. Okay? And that's where heresy comes in. Now, we're trying to get somewhere. We're doing pretty good. We're getting there. Now, this is really important. This is where we're headed this morning. God is all about the truth. Can you say that with me? God is all about the truth. He's all about the truth. That's what he cares about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, God is all about the truth. But Satan's about a lie. He's about heresy. So how can I deal with this, Pastor Clark? What can I do when heretical things come down the pipe? Believe God. Believe God's Word. John 8:31 then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my what? Word. Then are you my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the what? Truth. Where do I get the truth from? The Word. And the truth shall make you free. The Word, you might wonder, why do you preach the Bible? Clark, what's wrong with you? That's where I get the truth. That's how I get free. That's what freed me, was the message of the gospel and growing in grace. The truth of God's Word. It's all about the truth. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you should be what? Free indeed. Amen? The truth, not this heresy that Dan Brown and others push. All that's going to do is make you spin, make your head spin. You're not going to know what you believe, where you're going, where you're headed. It's all craziness. Believe the Bible. I'd like you to say these with me. I am free, and I want to stay free. Come on, one more time. I am free, and I want to stay free. If you're a Christian, if you love God's Word, you believe the Bible. Listen to me. I am free, and I want to stay free. Amen? Amen. I don't want heresy to come into my head. I don't want it to come into my life. I want to, when I'm 75, it would be said of me, you know what? Old Clark still believes the Bible. He still does. You know what I mean? I'm free now, and I want to stay free from this junk that's peddled out there. Next statement. Say it with me. Last one for a while. I want to know the truth and reject heresy. I want to know the truth, and I want to be able to reject heresy. So with all that being said, here we go. With the message this morning. And we're about halfway done, 3/4. The prescription for heresy. There's 9 shots. Isn't that terrible? Now let me ask you something. We got some healthcare physicians and stuff in the building. When you get that, when you get shots when you're a little baby, is there several needles that shoot you at one time? It's just one needle. Why does it make that big old mark all over you? Those are small pox. Does it have several needles or just one needle?
That has several needles.
Well, smallpox has several. Yeah. Okay, so this is like smallpox, okay? Got lots of needles, all right? Because I got 9 needles coming at you. You ready? 9 needles that'll help you. It'll be your prescription for heresy. And because heresy was around during the Apostle Paul's day, and this is why he wrote this book, so they could counter heresy. So here it is. Go to your doctor. Here we go. Prescription for heresy. Here we go. Number 1. Ooh, that first shot. Here it is. Set your love on Jesus. Set your love on Jesus. This is what the Bible says. He was writing this church who was all screwed up in their thinking and their theology because of the Gnostics They were talking about mysticism and legalism and traditions and inner life and all this. And he wrote this book to get them straight. That's what we need. Amen? So he says this in Colossians 3. Look at it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections, what? On things above, and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I don't know exactly how many times Christ is mentioned in these first four verses, but it's Christ, 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 Christ. That's what your affection should be on. You need to set your love on Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, I love you, but my love is not set on you. My love is set on Him. I know you love me, but don't set your love on me. Set your love on Him. That doesn't mean that you can't love me and I can't love you, but our love for Him ought to pale in comparison to the love that you have for me or I have for you. We're to love Him. Why? Because you can let me down, I can let you down, He will never let anybody down. Set your love on Him. Serve Him because of Him. Love Him. That's the first way. That's the big shot. You got it, say? Why do I come to church? Well, I like that so-and-so person. I come here because I love Jesus. Amen. You're hearing me today. Set it on Him. Boom! That's the shot. Number one. Let's keep moving. It's all about Him. Set your love on Jesus Christ. Number two, Roger. Roger, you're shooting us today, buddy. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Put off the old man and put on... Now, I need y'all to help me. Don't go to sleep on me. You're going to kill me again. Come on. Pinch yourself or pinch somebody near you. All right? Come on. Here we go. Now, don't do that, please. That wouldn't be good. Here we go. Put off the old man and put on the new man. This is walking down through the book of Colossians. If you've got your Bible, look at it. Mortify. That means kill. Put to death. Therefore, your members. That ain't church members. That's people. That's members in your body. Okay? That is your thoughts, your actions, your old deeds, which are upon the earth. Here they are. Fornication. We ought to kill that. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. Big old words that mean a lot of nastiness. Covetousness. Which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes against the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. It ought not even be in your mouth. Filthy talk ought to get out of your mouth. Are you hearing me today? You might say, what's that got to do with me believing heresy? Listen, friend, if you can't believe the plain word of God, that your communication ought to be clean and right, how in the world are you going to know the truth when this crap comes down the way at you? Say, you're not going to know that. You're not going to be right with God if you can just tolerate filth coming out of your mouth. Get rid of it. Put it off. Kill it. Okay? If you say GD or other words like that, shame on you. And you ought to get your act together. Amen? You hear me today? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm saying you're just lazy. And you ought to kill that mess. Does that make any sense? It makes good sense to this preacher. Kill it! I said all those things. I said things I'm so ashamed that I used to say. But hallelujah, don't say it anymore. Amen? That doesn't mean I'm a great guy. It means I had to work at it and kill the sucker. Amen? Certain things in your life that you used to do that you know is wrong, kill it! It'll help you with heresy. Put off those things. Keep moving. Lie not one to another. If you're a Christian but you don't see any problem with lying, then you won't see any problem at all with heresy. Did you hear me? See, that's part of it.
Oh, I don't believe that junk.
But you lie like a dog, come on. Seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, put him off. And you put on the new man. Amen? You're a new man. Come on. Which is renewed in knowledge. That's the word of God. After the image of Him that created him. Whether there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, that means everybody can get it. Amen? Because of Jesus Christ, the old man can be dead and the new man can be alive. Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, what your race is. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. Now this might be boring to some people. Let me tell you something. If you want to stand against heresy, you've got to put off the old man and you've got to put on the new man. Let's look at what the Bible says. Some other stuff. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Because Jesus Christ lives, I can live again. Amen? The old Clark is dead. The new Clark's living now. Because He lives, I live a new life. Verse 17. Say it with me. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature or creation. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold what? All things are become new. I'm a new man. Because of Jesus Christ. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. That's who Jesus was. He was made to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ went down the cross so that you could be saved and live like the devil. Quote me. He went down the cross so that you could be saved to live like the devil. Amen? And when we do that, and we don't see anything wrong with that, or we don't apply ourselves to stop doing that, we open ourselves up to all kinds of false teaching as well. This is what Paul is saying. I believe it. Number three, third shot. Respect God's people. Can you say that with me? Respect God's people. What's this got to do with heresy, preacher? Here's what it has to do with it. If you have a bad attitude about some church that did you wrong, and I ain't going to church. How many people have ever heard that say? They went to a church, something happened, so they quit. Do you think a person like that becomes a sitting duck for false teaching, yes or no? Sure they do. Somebody will smooth up to them, treat them nice, teach them a bunch of mess, and they're off and running in the wrong direction. Amen? So we need to have a healthy respect for God's people. That's what He says is a prescription. It'll help us. He was telling that church at Colossae, quit fighting with one another. Love one another. If you want to get that mess fixed, look at it. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. Keep moving. Above all these things, put on charity. That's love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Be thankful. So respect God's people. Look at it. Forbear one another. Boom. Forgive one another. Love one another. Be at peace with one another. Work with one another. Be thankful for one another. Did you know what, friend? When we have that kind of unity inside a fellowship church, that helps keep heresy out of this place. Did you understand that?
Amen.
When you've got an old ugly spirit, had somebody tell me their church went over to another city and helped rebuild a little church recently. Paint it, do all these kinds of things. Church runs 30. Nothing wrong with that. But they get over there and there's so much bickering, so much fighting. It wasn't long. Here these people are there just to work and labor, and got one of the ladies telling how awful some of the leaders are in the church. And you wonder why they run 30. Amen? Who wants to go to that kind of place? Do y'all? I don't. If that's what you're looking for, you ain't going to find it here. Amen? We need to love one another. Get along with one another. This helps this church, man. Keep heresy out of this place. Okay? Don't let that spirit of disunity come in this place. Number four. Fourth shot this morning. We got to fly, Roger. Let the words of God dwell in you. Don't do nothing but press the button, me. Let the words of God dwell in you richly. That's number four. Let the Word of God get in you. Let the Word of God get in you. You'll never stand against heresy if the Word's always sitting on a table somewhere, if it's something that Pastor Clark knows or so-and-so knows. You need to know the Word. Amen. You need to get it in you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Revelation, it's interesting. John the Revelator, John the Apostle, he said, I went unto the angel, and the angel said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take this little book and eat it. It shall make your belly bitter, but it shall make your mouth sweet as honey. Verse 10, I took the little book, John said, out of the angel's hand. I ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly became bitter. Listen, the Word of God, many times you're going to read it and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on you. You're going to see it. You're going to get convicted. It's going to go in sweet. And it's going to hurt, man. But it's going to clean you up. Amen. Are you hearing me? Let the Word get in you. Let the Word get in you. How about a verse like this? Husbands, love your wives. Okay? That's not an ugly verse. But if you're going through a hard marriage and you think, I just got an easy way out here, I'll just quit, let me tell you something. Let that Word get in you, and the Holy Spirit just might do amazing work in that marriage, but it might not be easy. You hear me today? So,
amen.
It said there's great things in the Bible. Let it dwell in you richly. The Word of God's quick, powerful. It's what? Sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides, it cuts, it goes down to the joints and marrow. It's a discerning of thoughts and intents of our heart. Let the Word get in you, and you can have a prescription for heresy when it comes down the pipe. You're going to know what's right and what's wrong. Number five, do what you do for the glory of Jesus. Can you say that with me? Do what you do for the glory of Jesus. Look at the scripture. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Paul writing, the same book, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Another verse, Corinthians. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, why? Put that back up, Roger. How is this a prescription? Doing what I do for Jesus Christ. If you do anything that you do, service, Christian service, for anybody other than Jesus, you're setting yourself as the setting them. If you do it to please me, if you do it to please somebody in this church, we just might not say thank you enough. You hear me? We might just not pat you on the back enough. And you're going to get mad. Well, I did this and they did. Do it for Him. Amen?
Amen?
Do it for Him. Now, we ought to say thank you. We ought to encourage one another. Didn't we already see that? Respect God's people? Sure we should. But we don't do what we do for you and for me. We do it for Him. That's why we do it. That will protect you if you keep your eyes on Him and do what you do for Him. Not pleasing somebody. Number six. Wow, I'm full of shots today. Love your family. Love your family. I think it's really odd that Paul put this right there in his part of Scripture. What's loving my family going to do to help me with heresy? Look at it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as is fit in the Lord. You ought to do that as much as you can, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Die for them if you have to. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. Kids, that's what you're supposed to do. It's going to help you. It's going to help your family. It's going to help you in God's Word and God's will. But this is well-pleasing of the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't be an overbearing father. What does that have to do? Let's look at the other scripture. We're going to say it. If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, say it with, he has denied what? The faith. And it's worse than an infidel, a heathen. Next verse. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why does loving your family help you defend against heresy? If you, friend, can think that you can treat your family like a dog and love Jesus, you're a nut. You're a fool. God loves your family. He wants you to love your wife. He wants you to love those young ones. Young ones, you're supposed to love mom and dad. He's not going to bless you. He created the family. Family ought to be a priority to you. Somebody that says they love Jesus and can't stand one of their kids is a liar. Did you hear me today? And I don't care if that hurts you or not. I could care less. Love your kids. You ought to forgive them. I'm not saying it's going to be hunky-dory. But loving your family is key to having a relationship with God. You can't treat them like dirt and come to church and praise Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus and I hate Jesus. It ain't gonna happen. That will help you. There's supernatural power, I believe, that God gives you when you love your family. Love them. Okay? Love them. It's awful when we don't love our family. Let's keep putting it up. Paul says, love your family. Here's another one. A prescription for heresy. Work your job as unto the Lord. You're kidding me, Clark. I thought it was all about just studying the Bible. A lot of people study the Bible. How many know great theologians or great pastors in big churches? They study their Bible a whole life. They're so far out in left field, that ain't funny anymore. They're declaring that they don't even believe in the deity of Jesus and things like that anymore. It's not just about study, friend. Look at why did I put this up? You'll see Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service or men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. That's that again. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons. Do I have anything else upon that? Obey in your job. Be sincere in your job. Work hard at your job. And do it for the Lord. Why? I want to say this. I'm going to say it. If you come here on Sunday morning, and oh, how I love Jesus, and Monday through Friday, You're cheating on the boss on time. You're cheating. You're stealing things. You're a lazy bum. Excuse me. But I'm in love with Jesus. Friends, you just open yourself to all kinds of mess because God ain't speaking to you. He ain't talking to you. He wants us to be honest. Do y'all agree with that or not? Say it. Well, if you agree with it, let's praise the Lord. Let's thank God for working hard and doing the right thing. That's part of the relationship with God. You know, you might not think that. Listen, when you work, if you've got a boss man that's a pain, listen, you do it for Jesus. Amen? Until you can find you another job. Do it for the Lord. Do what's right. Don't cut corners because you're cutting little holes for heresy to start coming in. Because you're certainly not believing, going to be hearing the truth in your spirit. I believe that with my whole heart. Number 8. Pray continually with thanksgiving. Pray. I'm glad to see a lot of y'all writing this down. Pray. Pray. Continue in prayer. Watching the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds. We need to pray continually if we're going to fend off heresy, false teaching. But you know how we need to pray? We need to pray with thanksgiving. Nothing worse than a bad attitude. Somebody always asking for something. Why don't you tell God how great He is? How, like Jimmy did today, how great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, how great is our God? Amen? Pray like that. Thank Him for little things. And when you're doing that, you're thinking, why am I doing this? Well, the pastor says it's making me stronger. And the Word of God says it's making me stronger against defending against the devil. Amen? Good stuff, man. Number 9. We're done. I'm all shot up today. Walk the walk and talk the walk. You notice I didn't say talk the talk. Walk the walk and talk the walk. What do I mean? Look at the Bible. All in Colossians, I didn't make up any of it. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that they may know how you ought to answer, that you may know that how you ought to answer every man. Part of the prescription for heresy is walking your Christian life. Walking for the Lord. Every day. In your workplace, not just on Sunday. Living for the Lord. Doesn't mean you're perfect. But you're trying, by the grace of God, to live for the Lord. Amen? That's going to help defend you against heresy. Also, when you talk that walk you live. You talk that walk. Grace. Seasoned with salt. Not just blowing smoke. If you're a person who does not walk that walk, and if you're a person who just talks that talk, but you ain't talking and walking, you're opening up yourself, friend, to disaster. You look good today, but where are you going to be in 10 years? Where are you going to be when the movie comes out? Your Facebook face, Father? Where are you going to be when another movie comes out? Where are you going to be when somebody you love turns their back on the church and turns their back on their faith? Are you going to stay steady? Or are you going to bite the dust? How many have ever known Christians, listen to the question, who put their faith in the church or in a man, and when that church or that man fell, they bit the dust and they still ain't right yet? Can I see your hands? All over the building. Walk that walk. Talk that walk. Set your affections on Jesus Christ. 9 shots. I guarantee it. You get all them shots, Dan Brown ain't going to get a hold on you, baby. And as much as I like Tom Hanks, I think he's a funny guy. I like him. Guess what? No matter how cute he is, baby, listen. He ain't going to get a hold of the new movie. It's not going to affect my faith. It's not going to rock me. I don't say that proud. I say that based on the Word of God and what we've read this morning. Finally, we walk in wisdom. We use our time wisely. We speak with grace. We know how to answer people. And then this last scripture right here. 1 Peter 3, and we're done. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. That's why I did this little series on Da Vinci, because there's going to be a lot of talk. And I hope through this, you've got something. Or you can get the DVD. You can go online and click on it and learn and see and grow. All the messages are online, not just one week. He's put all 3 of them up there. The 3rd one will be there probably Tuesday. Okay, so you can answer people. Look, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, As evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse you because of your good conversation in Christ, because of your walk, because you love the Lord. Amen? So I hope this has helped us this morning. I hope this whole series is a little different than I'm used to doing, but I hope that it's been a help to you in your life. The book of Colossians. Amen? We can stand against heresy, against Gnosticism, against anything if we're standing in Jesus Christ.